What else do we care about? Well, we've got a big number out here. That's when, well, maybe we should just go right to that. Let's go right to our guest analyst. It's going to be Craig Bolanos, Wealth Management Group in Chicago. Craig, thanks for being on. Why don't you give us the, you probably know what, the non-farm.
Do my eyes deceive me? We were looking for 185,000 non-farm payroll jobs. We got 353,000. Let me say that again. 353,000. That is the best number we've had since, gosh, like January of 2021. And the average hourly earnings, those blew through the roof as well. So what does all this mean? Hey, anybody who thought they were going to get not one, not two, but six Federal Reserve cuts that you could count on two hands, it's just not happening unless there's going to be a massive revision coming through here. Soft landing? Yeah, this thing is soft. It looks like the jobs market's remaining hot.
It's confounding, that's for sure. And now I just hope I make it another 25 years so I know what's really been going on for these last 2 years. But
I think the government must have hired an awful lot of people because I don't think it was in the private sector.
Right, and the government's been on averaging hiring about 56,000 people a month, but that's not going to make up for that fact. And number two is that, you know, the stock market's high, if you ask me, because we've been spending like crazy. It's cost us $2.50 of new debt to buy $1 worth of GDP. And there's a lot of folks that thought we were going to see a bunch of rate cuts, too, that piled into that market. We'll see what the market does right now. I know the 10-year's jumped up by 10 bips already, making a move towards $4. We're at 3.96. So that's, you would have thought that pressure that would pressure the market, but what do I know in this day and age anymore? I mean, come on, it's just absolutely, with yesterday's stonking rally. And did you hear why we rallied yesterday?
Well, I mean, no, why don't you tell me?
Because the banking crisis is starting to get bigger in New York, and they think that they're going to have to cut rates because of it.
I mean, you know,
it's laughable.
If you're a New York bank and you are going to absorb one of the big three that failed last year, you best need to read your compliance manual on tier one and tier two capital ratios, and you shouldn't make crappy loans on the outside. I mean, I think it's isolated to the one bank. We'll see. But only time's going to tell here. Now, I had my own answer, which is, hey, earnings were going to be good, and we realized that, wait a second, yes, the Federal Reserve didn't take rate cuts off the table. They just kind of lowered the expectation that we weren't going to get what we wanted in March. But the Fed, I thought, in their commentary had definitely pivoted, saying, yep, that's it. The next move are rate cuts, and I thought that's really what helped the market. But I understand the vein and tone of your voice because, no, I mean, no one wants to see a collapse of regional banks, and we certainly don't want to see anything spill over like it did to the investment guys last year when the Swiss government had to orchestrate the sale of Credit Suisse to UBS to provide a mega bank sector meltdown.
Yeah, well, and I've been saying that I don't think that the banking problem's over here. Now, they got a little relief with the 10-year yield coming from 5 down to 3.85 or 4. But if that yield goes back, I mean, look, I don't think they're going to cut rates in March. I don't think that's happening. I don't even know if they cut them in May. And then after that, we're getting pretty close to the election.
Oh, this is getting scary because you and I are on the same page. We've said it on countless times. I'm not in the camp of them cutting in March. I'm not in the camp of them cutting in May. Never been in the camp of giving us six rate cuts. I'm really honestly only looking for two, if not three. And again, part of my reason that we only get two, even if they're supposed to look at data and that data can't exclude the volatility of food and energy, I think energy prices are going to pick up here. I know the rumors about Israel and Hamas getting a ceasefire. I haven't seen it yet, but we do have to still worry about that fear premium oil in the background. So Scott, my only advice, and I keep saying it, for the Super Bowl, you better bet the over, because for a year and a half now, I've been doing your show. What's the data? It's over every single time.
And so why isn't Bidenomics working if everything is so over and so great?
Well, do you want me to pretend to be his press corps for a second?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It is the greatest story untold. I mean, if I was telling a story, if I was the current president, I would beat my chest every single day and say, hey, guys, did you see it? The unemployment rate's 3.7%. And when I was done with that, I would remind everybody that the labor participation rate, is the best it's been since the fall of 2019. And when I was done with that one, I would remind everybody, hey, oil doesn't start with a 1. It doesn't start with a 9. We got oil trading at, what, 73, 74? And gone are the days of 9% inflation. Look at me. We're back down to something much more palpable. That'd be the story I tell.
Okay.
But the fact is, Americans don't feel that way, and I understand why they don't feel that way, because I live right where everybody else in America does, which is 123 Main Street, and I can see it out my window. It's expensive.
Mm-hmm. And just like your bank account accumulates money with the compounding of interest, your pocketbook pays more with the compounding of inflation. And when you've got, since 2021, we've got food up 34% and fuel up 33%. I can't stand how they take those two things out. Look, those are the only two things that Americans touch every day. And if you don't own any real estate, and if you don't have a lot of stocks, you're getting smoked. And I think there's like 50 or 60% of America that's in that boat.
No, that's right. If you don't own real estate and you don't have a big investment portfolio, it's not a good place. And again, when us, we live on 123 Main Street. When we look at the world, not through the lens of a ticker tape, we look through the world in the collective sum, Americans feel less safe. I don't want to go downtown into the city. I don't want to go and get robbed. I don't want to go and get carjacked. I don't like what's going on internationally and abroad. None of these things.
I don't think you have to worry about that, Kia.
And all of that weighs on the sentiment. So I certainly understand where it comes from, but I do want to defend something I said, though. The numbers are good right now.
So yeah, they
Scott,
are.
I said this morning, yeah. I did a speaking engagement. If anybody ever wants to know what a soft landing looks like, you don't need a chart. Everyone listening, we've been living it, and we're still living it. So make sure people are staying invested, because remember, momentum's a powerful thing. The trend is your friend. New highs make new highs. And if the Fed is going to cut, remember, don't fight the Fed. It'll at least maintain, if not slowly stimulate asset prices later in the year. And then eventually the sins of the past will come home to roost. It's just not right here in the now.
You're right. Perfect way to end it. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend. Craig Bolanos, he's with the Wealth Management Group up in Chicago. We're down here on Nashville's Music Row. We're going to go away. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk more after this.